Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin.
Well, hello everyone. And once again, thank you for taking the time to tune in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm your host, Jason Ophir, joined with the beautiful and talented psychic medium, Sherry. Sherry, how's it going? It's been a few weeks since we've been live.
I know. We've been so busy with our lives and things have been happening. I'm doing really well, just doing a lot of readings and just getting ready for the holidays. What about you? What are you going to do for the holidays, Jason?
Absolutely nothing. I'm not a very festive person. That might be shocking to some. Actually, it shouldn't be shocking at all. I'm just not a holiday, not a birthday, I don't observe anything. I just try and live day to day and survive for the next miserable day. But nothing on this end.
Miserable day, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Wow. Oh my goodness! It sounds like you're pretty down and out.
Yeah, that's kind of my modus operandi. But not a lot. Nothing terrible going on. I have not been to work in several days. I hurt my back, and I have to go back to work tomorrow, which sucks. But I guess we all got to do what we got to do. At least I'm able to walk without being in terrible pain. But it's not too bad. Now, I do have a slight health update. You remember, you know, I have these just horrendous heart palpitations. Remember me talking about that?
I heard about that, yes.
Yeah, and I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago, but in case you didn't listen to that one, my heart is just beating irregularly all the time. Super annoying. I can feel it in my throat. It causes me to cough, just flip-flopping all over the place. And it's not a new problem. This has been going on for, well, probably 15 years. Why it's happening, I don't know, but it's annoying. Not particularly dangerous, more of an annoyance. But, you know, if your heart does that so too often, then it could put you into heart failure, which isn't great. And I've been tested over the years, you know, stress tests and echoes and Holter monitors and stuff like that. But I did wear a Holter monitor for a week. I'm supposed to wear it for 2 weeks. And a Holter monitor, for those that don't know, it basically is monitoring your heart 24/7. It's a little thing you stick on your chest, and it just records all your heartbeats. And I wore it for a week. Like I said, I was supposed to wear it for 2 weeks, and it was pissing me off. It was just not a well-designed heart monitor, and it just became an annoyance. So I took it off after a week and was like, that's good enough. So it was sent off, and the results came back, and they're not great. My heart is just whack.
Is it because you're messing with it, or is it actually pretty accurate as far as registering your heart rate?
Oh, no, it's accurate. I mean, we're talking... these devices are designed to record the heart. Now, it's not as great as, you know, going to the ER and having a 12-lead EKG. This is basically just a one-lead thing, so it's just recording one aspect of your heart. But it's good enough to be able to see what's going on. And, you know, and my heart was palpating the entire time. I mean, every few seconds I could feel it. And so it caught all those. And basically I'm having a ridiculous amount of PVCs, which is premature ventricle contractions, which is basically the lower part of the heart is just kind of firing on its own out of sync with everything else. And most people have them here and there, but some unfortunate people such as myself just have a ridiculous amount of PVCs. And so that was calculated wearing the Holter monitor. And apparently during that week, because it's 13% of my heartbeats were PVCs, which is pretty bad. Now, the Holter monitor that I wore a couple years earlier, I was only at 5%. So now it's 13%. So just imagine 13% of every heartbeat you have being an annoying sensation. It's truly a nightmare. And it captured some other things like having these PVCs every other beat and couplets, which are two PVCs in a row. And just it's a great annoyance, and I wish I knew a way to make it stop, but it's just something that I guess I have to live with, and I'm used to it now.
Yeah, what did the doctor say? You are you seeing a heart cardiologist?
Yeah, so typically, and I've taken medication for it before, but medication didn't help at all. So I just took myself off the medication years ago, and he said that he wants to send me to a specialist. Now, cardiology is a specialty, but you also have specialties of specialties, and there's something called an electrophysiologist, and all that doctor does is an expert on the electricals of the heart.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the reason he doesn't want to put me on medication is apparently my heart rate got too low.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it was recorded at probably when I was sleeping, almost certainly when I was sleeping, 47 beats a minute. And those hearts, which I actually don't think that's bad, but those heart medications, you know, they lower the heart rate, and you know, you don't want your heart rate to get too low. So
right,
I'll go
right.
See an electrophysiologist, but they're really, if you're going to an electrophysiologist, there's really only one thing that they're going to do if they don't prescribe drugs, and that is, it's called an EP study. And what they do is they stick a catheter in your leg into your heart, cord the electricity in the heart, and then if they can find the places in the heart that are causing those PVCs, they can ablate them, they can burn them. But mine are coming from several different areas, so I don't know if that you can do anything about that. But anyways, not paranormal, just an annoyance, and I figured I'd talk about it just to kill a few minutes.
Well, what can you suggest for other people that may have some heart problems like you? What do you suggest?
Well, there are other people that have, it's funny because if you look on the forums about PVCs and arrhythmia and all that, people think they're dying when they have 10 of them in a week. And I'm like, try having 10 of them in a minute. Cause that's, I've had as many as 30 in a minute, you know, and it's funny to see people saying, oh, I'm dying. I had 10 in a week. And like, oh yeah, I probably have 30,000 in a week, you know? But the first thing to do is to get checked out. The main concern, and I'm not a doctor, this is just what I've picked up over the years, is you want to make sure that you don't have structural heart disease, because it's kind of a different animal. Because if you have these kind of arrhythmias in a structurally abnormal heart, it can lead to more dangerous rhythms.
Yeah, I
also have supraventricular tachycardia. Okay. So that's a whole nother situation. But it's basically when your heart just suddenly starts to beat really fast. I mean, we're talking fast, like a couple hundred beats a minute. And yeah, anyway, but my supraventricular tachycardia is only a series of like 5 beats, I think it was captured. But anyway, super annoying. But if you're having heart palpitations, you obviously want to get it checked out, because there are, the majority of the time, they're I would say they're benign, but there are some ones that can be life-threatening, and you want to get it checked out. For sure. Heart's not something to play with. You're beating, if you've got noticed something going on, particularly heart, if you're having heart palpitations, what you really want to pay attention to is, are they making you dizzy? Are you passing out? Are you short of breath? That sort of thing. Now, if you're having heart palpitations and you have those sort of things, you need to go to the emergency room, and you need to be evaluated quickly, because that, fortunately, my palpitations don't cause me to be dizzy. So, but when it starts affecting with, you know, dizziness and stuff like that, that means essentially your heart is not beating efficiently, and it's starting to affect, you know, blood getting to your brain and stuff like that. So those are the worrisome sides, but I'm not a doctor, so
exactly.
My advice. So yeah, that's the world of heart palpitations. Maybe it's paranormal, maybe it's not. I don't know.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Okay, now to shift my cardiovascular subject to the paranormal slightly.
I want to talk about you. I don't know what subject you were wanting to talk about. I think I want to cover, being it's close to Christmas, and I know you're not in the festive mood, I thought maybe we can talk about Krampus.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I just watched one of the movies on the other day. I did. Before you get into that, I wanted to give an update on the potential paranormal activity in my home. Now, I sent you a video of an orb, remember?
Yes, I did get it, and that was definitely paranormal. So
it even left my head.
That was just not something that was just a fluke or something that was just, dust in the air or a bug or anything. I really looked at it and played it over and over and over again, and definitely paranormal. So you've got some beings that are passing through, making themselves known. And if you could somehow slow down the camera and take a frame by frame, second by second, perhaps you can enhance that and actually look and see if there's any type of patterns or in that orb. Because if they move so fast, and being that you weren't able to catch it with your eyes, if you were, that's wonderful. I've seen orbs myself. I've been very fortunate to see orbs with my own eyes in my own home and other people's homes. Or outside, but the fact that your security camera picked up on it, definitely some paranormal phenomenon, I would actually say, as an ex-paranormal consultant.
Yes, and so these cameras are motion activated, so it was significant enough to trigger the motion, and for those, nobody really saw that video, but now I'm super skeptical of this. You know me, I don't really believe in orbs, but this one left my head scratching because it initially appeared far away from the camera and it flashed and it was very bright and I could see dust on cameras too, when I'm looking at them, and you can tell what dust does and what it looks like. This was nothing like dust or anything like that. Now, the update is that I have captured what could be the same thing on a couple other occasions on that camera. So I'm going to keep a closer eye on it. Usually I just delete stuff like that. But right now, I normally don't keep cameras on at night. However, I'm curious what goes on in my home in the middle of the night. So we are now arming the cameras so that we can capture stuff like that. And I will keep you posted. And if I have any additional ones, I deleted the most recent, but if I have any ones in the future, I'll send them to you and see what you think. And we can also post them on the Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.
That would be cool to get some feedback. But, you know, if you could go and slow it down, I don't know if you have it frame by frame, like I just said, if you can do it frame by frame, can enlarge it and see if there's, like I said, any patterns or faces or anything like that. I would love to check it out.
I don't think so without any, like, third-party video software, which I don't have. I'm not specialized in video. I'm more knowledgeable of audio. But I'll see if that's a possibility to slow it down and go from there.
Okay, good. That would be so cool. Yeah. So what would you like to talk about, Jason, on your end?
Well, initially we had spoken last week, and I was going to talk about the Secret Space Program. For those that don't know, NASA and all in that, Mars missions and stuff like that, that's just what they show us. But apparently we have interstellar craft, go to different planets and stuff like that. But I couldn't find any really good information on it. So I kind of nixed that idea. I'll have to do some more research. It's a topic I don't know a lot about, and I kind of wanted to talk about it because I don't think we've ever talked about it. So I'm going to have to follow through and learn more about it. And then I picked up, I was going to talk about some ancient curses, but we were having some technical difficulty as we were starting the show. And I closed all that information out. So, yeah, it's all you until I can pull up something else.
Was that a sign or what, huh?
Yep, it's the universe doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. We're not supposed to talk about it tonight. We want to be able to just kind of move through. But, yes, I'd like to talk about Krampus. And I'm not familiar with them. I thought they would be kind of cool to be able to enlighten our listening audience about them.
Yeah, and as you're talking, I'm researching. So you have the floor.
And anybody wants to call in, they're welcome to call in the Christmas edition of Paranormal Horizons. They can call in at 215-383-3999. Again, our call-in number, you're welcome to call, is 1-215-383-3999. So I just looked at this, and it's really interesting. It's called the Oktoberfest Tours .com/travel. And it says, I didn't know this, but seven things you need to know about Krampus. He's a German holiday demon. Krampus is a German holiday. Did you know that?
I did know that, actually.
I did.
All the weird factoids that I know. I don't know a lot about Krampus. Mainly what I've picked up on Krampus is how it's portrayed in the movies. But I'm actually looking at it right now.
Okay. So I will go over. He's pretty ugly. I mean, it's not the most beautiful thing to look at. But like I said, we're getting close to Christmas and paranormal, so let's get right on it. Krampus is a Christmas demon. Excuse me. And so you don't have a hellish Yuletu demons where you live, then you must not live in Austria or other German-speaking Alpine region. The holidays are more just Christmas markets here, people. The rest of the world shouldn't have it easy. The scariest thing about the holiday is the possibility of coal in their stockings or accidentally seeing Rudolph mounted on the wall of their local outdoor supplier. But if you have not already know about Krampus, the chances of you're a very good girl or boy, good girl or boy this year if you don't hear some of the things that you want to know about Krampus. So it is, number one, not human. Unlike Santa Claus and the elves, Krampus is made of flesh and blood. In fact, he eats flesh and blood for breakfast. Krampus is known to be a creature of half goat and half demon. He's usually hairy, black or brown, has goat horns, a forked tongue, vicious sharp fangs, and naturally cloven hooves. Although sometimes he's pictured with one hoof and one human foot. So read into what you will. Number two, Krampus keeps children in line. During the Christmas season, and Krampus keeps the little children in line. Maybe you're used to the story of the benevolent Santa Claus who rewards good little girls and boys with gifts. Well, in true German fashion, Krampus is far cry from making a list and checking it twice. Krampus is straight up going to get a kick your ass if you've been naughty, literally, and with a bundle of sticks. So where Santa is known for rewarding good children with presents, Krampus is famous for beating, whipping, and snatching at rotten ones, putting them in the weird sack basket and taking them back into the underworld, where Santa merely comes to town during the holiday seasons. Krampus is known to watch your punks all day, every day, all year round. Krampus didn't come from all the way from hell just to return empty-handed, if you understand. Wow, looks pretty. It looks like the D. Number three, Krampus has weapons. Krampus doesn't rely on the strength of his goat horns or typical scare tactics alone. This demon is packing. The Krampus is known to roam about town armed with chains, whips, and bundles of birch sticks that he uses to beat children with. Let me guess, don't you? I mean it. I've never been this serious. Krampus has his own holiday. Because of course he does. As you are going to tell him, he can't have one. While the Feast of St. Nicholas occurs annually at the 6th of December, Krampus usually steals St. Nicholas' thunder the night before on the 5th of December, formerly known as Krampusnacht. Krampusnacht. During this evening, but the joyous occasion. Yeah, Krampusnacht. During this anything but all joyous occasion, Krampus strolls about towns into homes and businesses, checking on the state of things and dishing out lumps of coal while appropriate. Merry freaking Christmas. Geez, if you need me, I'll be hiding under the covers, calling out for my mommy. Number five, Krampus and St. Nick are actual buddies. Okay, I've never said business partners. It's not unusual to see Krampus and St. Nicholas out on the town together. St. Nick bringing joy, Krampus bringing the crippling fear of pain. St. Nick rewards the good children while Krampus handles the ones who are bullying the other children at recess. It's kind of the perfect partnership if you ask me. There's a real light and dark side of things happening. I feel it helps to perfectly maintain the balance in the galaxy. I mean Alps. Number six, Krampus is a lush. To the surprise of no one, am I right? When Krampus comes knocking on the 5th of December, it's customary to appease him with schnapps, his booze of choice. I don't know what happens if you don't have any on hand, and I sure don't want to be the one to find out. The guy has fangs. Yo, it says. There's no way that going to the end well. So you can pretty much count on getting whipped and beaten anyway. He does have to maintain his reputation after all. And number seven, Krampus is not alone. If you think Krampus is only the Christmas demon out there, you've probably been hiding in your gingerbread house far too long. Turns out there's a world of terrifying holiday figures just waiting to beat into your obedience. For example, the land of Krampus, I guess he's pretty good at sharing, is a witch named Frau Persha, who's known to, if you're a real piece of work, rip into your guts and replace them with lovely. That's something. And then there's Bell Nickel of southwestern Germany, who hands out both candy and whippings depending on your tendency towards misbehaving.
So this sounds like a classic tale to get kids to behave. I don't believe this entity exists. I also have pulled up information on Mr. Krampus, and it's pretty in line with what you said. He is the devilish companion of St. Nicholas. He's believed to be originated in Germany, and the name derives from the German word Krampen, which means claw. He was thought to have been part of pagan rituals for the winter solstice. According to legend, he is the son of Hel, a Norse god of the underworld. So he's associated with a Norse god. Who? He somehow became associated with Christmas despite the efforts of the Catholic Church to ban him. Yeah, interesting stuff. And the same thing you said, he beats those that are naughty with branches and sticks. In some cases, he's even said to eat them or take them to hell. And so there are a lot of interesting festivals that are involved with Krampus, including the Krampuslauf. In this activity, which often involves alcohol, people dressed as the creature in a parade and parade through the streets, scaring spectators and sometimes chasing them. And that began in the late 20th century. So apparently, I imagine it's in Germany. That's a big deal. They have festivities, and it seems in some cases Krampus is celebrated internationally. So very, very interesting. It's a great tale to keep your naughty children in line.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't be surprised. And I think if I could remember, I was at Clyde Lewis's Krampus. It was Krampus Christmas at one year. I went over to his Krampus party.
There was a Krampus party?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were just talking a little bit about Krampus, and they were on live on air on radio, and it was really interesting. Yeah, I was there. I was on air with Clyde, and then I ended up doing a bunch of readings for people that wanted to different readings.
So
it was
a long night. Let me say this. So let's assume for a second that Krampus is a real child devouring, whipping demon. So if you're holding festivities in its honor, wouldn't that be kind of dangerous and maybe manifest, some evil? I mean, we always talk, how is that different than trying to summon a demon?
Yeah, that's true.
You're acknowledging an alleged dark force. And anyway, we talked to a lot of demonologists, and it just seems to me like that would just be a bad idea, to have these festivals regarding Krampus.
Yeah, that's, I wouldn't do it, but yeah, there's a lot of people that make, it's like a Halloween party, right? Make Krampus a Halloween party.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing I'm Mr. Not Festive, so I don't have to deal with any Krampus festivals or pagan holidays.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I have a couple more people to list, and then you can take the floor. There's Hans Trapp, T-R-A-P-P, the French Satan worshiper who lives in the forest but comes out just before Christmas dressed as a scarecrow to scare children, not crows, oddly, into being good. And then the last one, I can't pronounce it because it is in German. You've also got Joel, I don't know how you pronounce it. It's German, so I can't. Jolakko Thurin? I don't know how you pronounce that. It's the Icelandic Christmas cat who may be very well eat you if you don't do your chores. They are getting good. On the other hand, he rewards the hard workers with new clothes, so that's nice. Iceland also gives Gryla, the orgist who kidnaps, cooks, and eats children who disobey their parents. That's it. That's pretty. Ooh. Doesn't sound too good, does it?
No, it doesn't sound great. But you're talking a lot of Norse and Icelandic kind of stuff. So the Norse mythology has a lot of monsters.
And, do you remember any of them?
I do.
Okay, cool.
So here is a list of Norse monsters based in Norse mythology. There's one called the Draugr. In Norse mythology, the dead are known as Draugr. They resemble zombies, despite the fact that some myths refer to them as blood-drinking creatures. The Draugr can grow bigger at will and have superhuman strength. but they can't get rid of the smell of death. So just imagine zombies that could change their size at will. They go into and enter communities to wreak havoc on the living, frequently punishing people who offended them in life. They frequently live in their graves in order to defend the treasure that they were buried with. They have the power to crush someone with their superior strength, consume their flesh, and they can also make people die by indirectly making them crazy. These beings are rumored to have the ability to harass the living by entering their dreams and would always leave behind a presence. So dead people, I guess, are draugrs. I don't know if that's pronounced correctly. Evil spirits that can change their size and kill people. And then you have other Norse ones, you know, like dwarves and elves and I'm looking at a list right now. I'm familiar with about half of these. I'm trying to read the ones that are ones I'm not familiar with. There's one called Fossagrim. The Fossagrim, often referred to as the Grim, is a spirit and monster of the sea with amazing skill. He imitates the sound of the wind, water, and forest on a fiddle. He can be persuaded to impart the knowledge. So apparently he's a spirit that sometimes gives knowledge, and he plays weird sounds on a violin. I don't know how that's scary, though. Yeah, that's just not even scary at all. Just some dude that plays a fiddle. One that I find the most interesting is Jotnar. They're giants associated with Norse mythology and are said to possess abilities comparable to the gods. The name actually means devourers. I'm trying to scan this for what's relevant. Not much more about that one, but they're just huge, big giants.
Do they actually show pictures where you can share the link to people?
Yeah, if you go to www.gobookmart.com/top10monsters from Norse mythology. They have paintings which are kind of scary.
Wow.
And I'll give one more. This one's I'm familiar with, and the reason I'm familiar with it is because of a virtual reality video game I have. I think I've talked about it a long time ago. It's called Phasmophobia. And when you have a VR headset, it's like you're there. It's super scary. And in this game, you're basically a ghost investigator. You have all tools, the EMF, all this cameras and motion detectors, and you go into these haunted locations. And the goal of the game is to determine what type of ghost you have. And you do that by what evidence you have. You have EMF, or you have writing in a book, or this and that. And then the ghost sometimes goes postal in this game, and you have to hide from the ghost. It's pretty scary, actually. But how that relates to what we're talking about now is one of the ghosts in this game is a mare, M-A-R-E, like a female horse. And I didn't know this until now. I'm looking at it. A mare is basically a monster would sit on individuals while they slept, giving them horrible dreams. The mare was thought to be the souls of living individuals who, like demons, departed their bodies at night. They were frequently witches whose souls assumed animal form. Blah, 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 blah. So it's basically a bad spirit. And that was one of the spirits in the game Phasmophobia. So apparently these evil mare spirits like to sit on you and give you bad dreams, which I typically have bad dreams every night. So maybe I have a mare sitting on me.
Seriously, you do? You have bad dreams? Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the last time I had a good dream.
Do you remember them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I often have paranormal dreams, usually involving dark spirits or entities. Not every night, but it's not uncommon. But it's common enough to where my dreams would be considered a nightmare to normal people, but I'm so used to them. It's like the heart palpitations. I'm so used to the heart palpitations, it doesn't really faze me. It's just kind of a minor annoyance. Same thing
right.
with my dreams. I'm just, I don't have great dreams. How do I change that? Because my dreams typically suck.
Wow, really bad stuff, huh? It leaves you feeling bad, horrible, huh? Helpless?
Yeah, oddly enough, the dreams with the, you know, the dark forces and stuff like that aren't the ones that damage me psychologically. The ones that damage me psychologically are the ones of, you know, when I had a broken heart. And I constantly get reminded of it in the dreams where I'm constantly seeking out this person. And then I just feel like ass when I wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what happens is your heart still yearns for that person, you know, on an emotional level. So it comes to you in dreams in a subconscious way, whether you think about it or not, more or less it's unconscious. So it's your thoughts behind your consciousness and how you feel, and if there's been any closure and things like that. It happens. It really does. And your heart, your feelings are there to be tell you what you really feel, you know, your emotions and things.
Yeah, well, there's no closure, and this has been haunting me for 5 or 6 years, so I guess I'll just have to continue and be tormented.
Yeah, hopefully there will be. Sooner or later, hopefully there will be. Wow. Okay, go ahead, Jason.
Oh, that's the last one I wanted to talk about. There are other ones like Kraken and stuff like that, which we see in the movies, giant sea monsters and stuff like that.
Well,
but that's all I got for that.
I was going to talk about, and let me know if you're interested, it's Unexplained Files, Explores UFO, Mothman, and Alien Diseases. When I caught that word, alien, it's livescience.com, Alien Diseases. That sounds interesting, huh?
Alien Diseases, I have not heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
livescience.com, check it out. I'm on that page right now. So I want to share with our audience, this says UFOs visit a small town in Argentina. A red-eyed beast terrorizes a town in West Virginia. A bizarre disease inflicts people with inexplicable lesions. The Science Channel Unexplained Files is going to be premiering September 18th. It did, which it did. It's a standard time explorers of any of these mysterious legends. Wow. So it talks about in Argentina, in the Andes, that magnet unidentified flying objects, 2009, 30 people witnessed a long, bright, cigar-shaped light hovering over into the sky. Meanwhile, the town lost power for several hours with no apparent cause. So they believe it was a UFO. I'm scanning over it, too. Suspecting a plane crash, a search scoured the area for ground and air, found no signs of aircraft, found a giant strip of ground full of uprooted trees and mysterious white death. Investigative journalists theorized that these meteorites caused the damage, but analysts of this death revealed no evidence of one. Interesting. No alien UFO reports have been substantiated by science. However, eyewitness testimony is notoriously flawed. Interesting. So, West Virginia, there's a legend tells about horrifying creature. 1966, two couples reported encountering a 6.5 to 7 foot headless creature with wings and red eyes. How could that be red headless creature with wings and red eyes in its chest? Sightings of the Mothman followed. Can you hear?
Float.
Can you imagine that?
No, it sounds terrifying.
So, sightings of Mothman followed. They think it's a mass illusion, but a husband and wife, both psychiatric nurses, claim they both saw it. soon after the sightings. They also have that the Silver Bridge collapsed during the Ohio River, killing 46 people. Mothman believes, thinks that the beast is a harbinger of tragedy, and is rumored that similar creatures were seen before the Chernobyl and Fukushima disaster. Interesting. In Texas, Austin, Texas, outbreak of peculiar disease that sufferers convinced this comes from outer space. Patients break out in lesions all over the body from which multicolored fibers sprout. More than 20,000 people worldwide claim they suffer from so-called Morgellons disease. Interesting. The scientists claim that they show that strange fibers don't match any known synthetic or organic material, and they may be produced by the body itself. Alternately, they might be undiscovered bacterium, particularly carried by meteorites. The disease seems to strike randomly, making bacteria a cause unlikely. The CDC conducted investigation. A disease suggested people might be delusional and inflict wounds by scratching themselves. Interesting. Wow.
Well, the Morgellons has got a big community of people that say they're debilitated and they have these lesions with these fibers. And it became such a big deal and it was publicized in the news that the CDC got involved and investigated it. Not that I trust the CDC, but they basically said after they investigated all this stuff that it was parasitosis, which is basically people. It's a mental thing. It's all in people's heads and stuff like that. That's according to the CDC. But the people that allegedly have it say it's not, and I don't know. I don't know what to believe.
Yeah. No. You have to be out. You've got to be open for your one, huh?
It's hard to know if you don't have it. You know, I could definitely see it in some cases, maybe even a lot of cases, where there's a very strong psychological component that's causing people to believe they have some sort of fibers coming out of their skin or parasites. But you mentioned catching something from meteorites, and now I'm not by any stretch of the imagination, but to me, if a meteorite is coming through the atmosphere, it's heated to thousands of degrees, I would think that would kill all viruses and bacteria.
Right.
But I don't know.
Right.
I'm not a scientist. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
But
yeah,
go
ahead.
There is a lot of interesting things happening because of, and I'm putting my fingers up in quotations, global warming. There are researchers in areas that were covered in glaciers that have isolated and basically captured new viruses or viruses that we don't know about that have been dormant in the ice, which is kind of a scary thing.
Yeah, there's so many of them, huh? There's so many
yeah.
of them that are not even to have a name for them. You just never know. Go ahead, Jason.
Now you have to remember, if you're listening, we're remote and there's a slight delay. So, just real quick. What was I going to say? I've said it a million times before, we're living in scary times, and you know there are research labs out there that have basically turned viruses to be very deadly just for the sake of toying around with viruses, and you hope that they never get released. But this is the mentality of the science community out there, is to let's see how deadly we can make this virus. You know, and I don't remember which one it was. It might have been COVID. They altered some virus, and it was like a 75%, estimated to be 75% fatal. You know, why are we toying with this? Anyway.
I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah.
There was 10 paranormal videos debunked. So this particular, it's livescience.com. It's 10 paranormal videos debunked. So they actually did the investigation, found out that these were all frauds. They were not real. I can just go over it real quick because we don't have much time. The first one, let's see. Maybe, Jason, you can get on there. It's what is it called again? 10 paranormal videos debunked. It's going to be a good one. So our list of worst to best or worst videos that gone viral. That dead little green man. The UFO crash titled Dead Alien Found in UFO Hotspot in Russia was posted on YouTube earlier this month. This month shows two Russian men finding what appears to be a dead extraterrestrial alien near a stump in snowy in Siberia. Several elements point out it's a hoax. The little green man looks like too much like a Hollywood depiction of an alien. Furthermore, the creature's spacecraft can be harder or fabricated than a dead alien body. Finally, the videographers can be heard laughing rather than seriously discussing a remarkable find. It was later revealed that two teenagers had made the body with old bread and chicken skin.
Oh, wow, that's creative. How to make an alien on a budget.
Oh, that's funny. That is so funny. Did you see the other one, Jason, called Ghost in the Closet?
No, but I'm looking at the one from in Russia, the
okay,
dead alien. Do you want me to read the whole thing? It's just a paragraph.
Yeah, go ahead. We got a little bit of time.
I'll do it in my best voice. Dead alien found after UFO sighting in Russia. Two Russian men were out for a walk in 2011 when they came across what appeared to be a frozen corpse in the snowy countryside near Irkutsk in eastern Siberia. But this wasn't just any dead old corpse. It was an alien. Or was it? Only a month earlier, villagers swore that they had seen bright orange lights in the sky. Could the two incidents be related? Perhaps there had been an extraterrestrial crash? And basically, police investigated it, and the men confessed they had actually made the alien out of what you said, breadcrumbs stuffed into chicken skin as a practical joke. I kind of get the, you know, if you just Google dead alien Russia, you'll see this picture. I kind of see the chicken skin aspect of it. I don't see breadcrumbs, but I don't know. It's well done for what it is. But you have to remember, too, you know, when big, huge secret things like these happen, governments get involved and they come out with fake stories. So you never really know what's true or what's not.
I'm going to do the blurry the blurry bear costume. A North Carolina man named Thomas Byers posted this video on YouTube this late March. While driving down a country road, he and his friend allegedly saw the elusive human ape creature known as Bigfoot, which many people claim lives in our myth. Byers jumped out of the truck, got out of his video camera, and started filming the creature crossing the road. His footage made its way onto Fox News, MSNBC, the LA Times, and the Huffington Post, among other places, despite the fact that it was just the blurriest, worst-made, bogus video imaginable. First of all, Bigfoot clearly looks like a man in a bear suit. Secondly, we viewers are left to wonder how long it took Byers to notice the creature. Slow down, pull over to the side of the road, get out, walk in front of his truck, turn on the video camera, and start filming. Most Bigfoot reports claim that the animal moves so quickly, and if it moves slowly, we expect to see more videos of it, right? But this one does not seem to have much of a hurry. It almost looks like a mythical creature is waving as it wanders into the woods. Oh, it's hilarious. I'm laughing because it's funny. Oh, my God.
So not so much nonsense out in the world.
Oh, yeah. I love that one. Okay, Jason, your turn.
Well, I don't really have anything else other than this. I don't believe anything that I watch on YouTube. I've said it 1,000 times before. There's so much editing, video editing, and there's a program called After Effects where you add all this nonsense. And so it's impossible to know what's real or not, because type UFO into YouTube, you'll see 1,000 different things. But
yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Yes. So, yeah, you never know what's going on with different things that are happening around this world. But have you heard of the Dowtum? Have you ever heard of that?
The what?
It's a Dowtum. It's in Dowth, New Mexico. It's residents and visitors in the small city of Dowth, New Mexico have been annoyed and puzzled by a mysterious and low faint frequency hum in the desert air.
I have heard of that, and I have been to Gallup, New Mexico, and no offense to the people of Gallup, that town, city is trash. It's disgusting.
Is it?
So it wouldn't mm-hmm. surprise me if there's a low-frequency hum. That has been reported a bunch of different places. I believe people have heard that sort of thing in Sedona, Arizona. Some people seem to think that this, you know, the fracking where they drill with water or something. I don't know anything about fracking,
mm-hmm.
but
they think that
in some instances can cause, I don't know if a hum, but it just messes with seismology. And I think some people were trying to make the tie between the hum and fracking and all that. But it'd be interesting. If there's a low hum, it should be relatively easy to determine the source.
Yeah, they should be somehow. Exactly. People disappearing for various reasons. Some run away, some succumb to accidents, some are abducted, some are killed. Most are eventually found. But so with truly mysterious disappearances from Marie Celeste to Jimmy Hoffa to Amelia Earhart and Natalie Holloway, some people had vanished without a trace. So when missing persons are found, it's always through police work, confessions, or accident, never by psychic detectives. But when the evidence lacking leaves, even police and forensics can't always solve the crime. Interesting. Yeah, so sometimes, well, what do you think about people that are missing? What's your take on that? I didn't realize I saw about human trafficking, and it's very quite an eye-opener. Oh,
I think that there may be cases where people are being abducted by aliens. It wouldn't surprise me, but I think that would be like the 0.001%. You know, you got serial killers. How many hundreds of people are serial killers killing every year? Or human trafficking, like you said. Some people just want to go off the grid and just leave their life behind. You know, some people just go out in the middle of nowhere, have a heart attack, and then get eaten and digested, and there's not much left behind. So, I mean, as long as you have millions of people, there's always going to be people that just seem to go off the map and with no explanation, you know. I guess that's just part of life.
Well, I'm going to cover this one, Jason. It's about psychic powers and ESP. So, psychic powers and extrasensory perception rank them top 10 unexplained phenomena for no other reason that the belief in them is so widespread. Many people believe that intuition is a form of psychic power, a way of accessing arcane or special knowledge of the world or the future. Researchers have tested people who claim who have psychic powers through the results of under controlled scientific conditions having been negative, have been far negative or ambiguous. Some have argued that psychic powers cannot be tested for some reason diminishing the presence of skeptics or scientists. If this is true, scientists will never be able to prove or disprove the existence of psychic powers. Interesting. Well,
if you're gonna, since you mentioned that, I have to mention the late James Randi. He was a magician, and decades ago, he created a $1 million reward for anyone that can prove to him that psychic powers are reasonable. So Mr. Randi, and there's lots of videos on YouTube, just type in James Randi. He busts psychics, and he busted the famous psychic Uri Geller, the Spoonbender, and all these other people on television, you know, psychics, people that said they can move objects. No one to this day, after decades, has ever claimed the $1 million prize.
So what was the test? What do they explain how you get tested? I'm just curious.
Well, he just, you know, there's a bunch of them on YouTube. It's kind of entertaining. There's one guy that says he can move the pages of a phone book with the power of his mind. So what James Randi does is he has a phone book there, and he puts very light foam in front of the phone book, and he was able to prove that this guy was basically very trickily using his breath to make the phone book. There was another guy who was using dowsing rods. He said he could find gold or whatever, and he just, James Randi, put a bunch of things on the ground, covered them up, and it didn't, that one didn't work. And then there's the psychics and this and that. And then with Uri Geller, very famous video. He's a very famous guy. It was on, like, I believe it was the Tonight Show. And, you know, Uri Geller's a guy that can bend spoons. And James Randi basically made sure that all the spoons were, you know, not tampered with, this and that. And then Uri Geller, he couldn't bend the spoons, and he was claiming the energy wasn't right and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just a bunch of trickery, a lot of it.
Wow.
But the videos are very, very entertaining to watch, and they're older. They're probably from the 80s. But if you just type James Randi in YouTube, all that stuff will come up. He's a really old guy, really great personality. He died recently, which is a shame. And he was a very successful magician prior to busting psychics. And I don't know, he probably dedicated his life for 40 or 50 years to bust psychics.
Really? Wow. Hey, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I like to see that. I got to check it out.
Yeah, check it out. It's really fun to watch people sweat while you know, trying to use their powers on television in front of the guy.
Bending spoons and all kinds of things. Wow. Well, maybe these people got nervous. It does happen. I don't know. I can't speak for other people, but maybe, I don't know.
Well, I mean, a bunch of people have tried to claim the prize and haven't, and under James Randi's conditions. So, I mean, I think that says something. If 40, 50 years, no one's come to claim, has proven it.
Wow,
so.
That's... He should be on the, yeah, that's, I like to see that. James Randi, he passed away this year, huh?
I don't know if it was this year, but it was within the last few years. He was very old. I mean, even in the videos from the 70s and 80s, he looks like he's 80. So, yeah, I don't know. Actually, I should find out how, now I'm curious how old he was. He had to have been in his 80s.
Oh, wow.
He was a very famous musician. So he was born in 1928. He died at 92 in 2020.
Jeez.
Yeah, great stuff. Check him out on Wikipedia. He's got a pretty big Wikipedia. He's very famous, actually. But anyway, okay. It looks like we're out of time.
Yes. Anyway, I should plug myself in, Jason. Anybody wants to get a hold of me, my specialty is in Chinese medicine, medical medium, and a medical Qigong practitioner. Been around for a long, long time. My website is www.psychicmediumsherry.com, C-H-E-R-I.com. Again, it's www.psychicmediumsherry.com. Or you can get a hold of me on Facebook at Psychic Medium Sherry. Right there. And just get a hold of me on the contact page, and I'll get back to you in between clients. You. Hey, everybody, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Oh, I don't know what to say, but we're getting close to another year, Jason.
It's pretty crazy. Time flies.
Yes. We are. Time flies when we're having fun. We're skipping next week. I'm going to be with my family. My daughter's flying out from Wisconsin, and so if that's okay, I want to skip next week, and we'll do the show in 2 weeks. How's that?
Sounds good. Next week, I'll just be in my room with the lights turned off, curled into a little depressive ball. So it sounds like
things are not that bad, Jason. At least you got a house and home and food, right? And you got your kitty.
And I got cats, yeah, so that is true.
You got your kitty. All right. Well, anyway, thank you so much for being my partner, my husband on radio, and you've been wonderful.
It's been 415 episodes. Of course, a lot of those are repeats, but that's a long time.
Yep, and we're just plugging along. Yep, we're plugging along.
Logging along.
So, yep, and hey, just another week and a half, we're going to go into a new year.
Hopefully it'll be a good year for everyone. And with that, as usual, I've got my dinner waiting for me. So we'll see. Unless you have anything else, we'll see everybody in a couple weeks.
Care, everybody. Lots of love and peace.
Love and peace. Good night, everyone. Thank you.